May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 385. Hear, gracious God, a sinner's cry, for I have nowhere else to fly. My hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. 385.
Thank you. us read together from the Holy Word of God, reading from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 107. Psalm 107. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for ever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word, and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth, and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh a storm a calm, so that the ways thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs, and there he maketh a hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Most holy Lord God, do help us as we would approach before thee now, as we are found gathered together in this sanctuary, set apart for the worship of God. Lord, as we come before thee in this attitude of prayer, bless us each with that spirit of prayer. Bless us each with a gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, bless us each with the Spirit of Christ. Oh, bless us each this night with a softened heart, a prepared heart. Lord, thou knowest we have turned in from the busy scenes of life, and all of those things we have been attending to this day, all of those things demanding our time and our attention. Now, Lord, being freed from these things and gathered here, oh, we would be thankful. But, O Lord, what is the house of God to me, unless the Master there I see? Lord, may we prove thy presence here tonight, and grant us that eye of faith to look up and to see no man save Jesus only. For Lord, thou knowest how we have come. And thou knowest what prayers have been put up against this service. Indeed, if we have prayed our way here, if we have come in need, if we have come hungering and thirsting and longing and panting and hoping. O Lord, thou knowest those who have come with that prayer. Is there any word from the Lord? Or like Samuel of old, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Lord, are there any here in great need, who need a touch, a token, a blessing, who need help, who need deliverance, who need thee to make a way, who need the Lord to perform, the Lord to provide, the Lord to go before, the Lord to direct, who need upholding, who need strengthening, who need encouraging, Lord, who long for the light of thy countenance, O Lord, who long for the Good Samaritan to come just where they are. O Lord, those who long for a word in due season. O Lord, as we have read, he sent his word and healed them. O would it please thee, Lord, to send thy word this night, as we have it in nature, the rain and the snow coming down from heaven, watering the earth, that it may give bread, a seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that to which I do please and prosper in the thing whereto I send it. And, O Lord, what a great thing it is to receive the word of God, because it must be sent of God. He sent his word, or might it be sent into our hearts. And Lord, may we know what it is to receive thy word. Lord, if it be an arrow of conviction, a word to awaken, to convince and convict of sin, or a word to reprove, a word to chasten. Oh Lord, a word to bring us into want, bring us into need. Oh Lord, a word to comfort and encourage, and a word to bless. Oh Lord, what a wonderful thing it is to receive thy word. Oh, do make thy word that living word, living and abiding in our hearts. Leave not my soul destitute, even this night, from thy word. But, O, speak the word only, and thy servant shall be made whole, and clothe thy word with power. O, we pray for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We pray for that divine power. Oh, that power to be known and felt in our hearts, that power communicated through thy word. Oh, that thy word shall have such an effect that it cannot soon be forgotten, that it cannot be shaken off, that it cannot be ignored. But, oh Lord, that power of thy Holy Spirit applying thy word into our hearts, causing thy word there to take root, and to bring forth fruit in due season to thy honour, to thy glory. Oh, may we not be left just to come and go. And may we not, Lord, be left to go home disappointed, feeling that there was nothing. But, oh, we pray for that power, Lord. Oh, Lord, that power to have such an effect. Oh, that power to arrest, that power to awaken, that power to stir up. Oh Lord, that power to bring us to ourselves. That power to do us good. It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Oh, that power, Lord, where thy word is received, and that soul can pray Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. For this is my comfort in mine affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. O Lord, we do thank thee for thy word, the sacred scriptures, that do make it a living word, and grant thee its spirit's personal application of thy word even this night. Like Ruth of old, we may return home with those handfuls of purpose and beat out that which we have been given, to pray over it, to meditate upon thy word. O Lord, we do thank thee for thy word. Dear Lord, do remember any here who may be careless and indifferent, yet dead in trespasses and in sins. O, do be pleased to call them by thy grace. O, begin that work of grace. Change the heart, renew the will, and turn their feet to Zion's hill. Lord, do remember those who are concerned, and those who are burdened, and those who would flee from the wrath to come, and those, Lord, seeking a precious Jesus. Longing to find him, longing to know him, longing to be found in him, who would be found by faith, sheltering under his precious sin atoning blood, and clothed upon in his spotless robe of righteousness. Those who long to be made right, right with God, those who long to know their religion is real, show me a token, Lord, for good, a token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God, and that my treasure is above. Those who long to be made sure that my beloved is mine, and I am his. All to be made sure that we are found in the narrow way. All to be made sure that we are found with grace in our hearts. Oh, for thy spirit to bear witness with our spirits that we are of the children of God. Oh, members of that mystical body of Christ. Oh, adopted sons of the living family of God. With them numbered, oh, may I be now and in eternity. Lord, do remember any here who are cast down, any who are struggling. Any who feel to be in such darkness and bondage and sorrow and grief and wonders where the scene will end. Those who may be in fiery trials, tribulations and troubles and perplexities. Cannot understand these things. Wonder why it must be. Remember those suffering with afflictions, weaknesses, infirmities, disappointments. Those who walk a lonely pathway, a sad pathway, a trying pathway. Oh Lord, remember each and every one. Attend to every case. Supply every need. And do bless every soul. We would lovingly remember those unable to be here. And we think of those, Lord, laid aside in sickness and affliction. Could it please thee to grant healing, restoring, sanctifying mercies unto them? Lord, do remember those at home with the little ones, and those caught up in employment, any who may be away at this time. And Lord, do remember any who could have come but had no desire to come. Oh, do have mercy upon them. Lord, do bless this cause of truth. And may they yet prove that thy spirit remaineth among them here, that they are not a city forsaken. But Lord, let thy work appear, and work in the hearts of many, pull down those strongholds of Satan. Oh, we pray that souls may yet be brought out of nature's darkness and into thy marvellous light. Oh Lord, bring souls into gospel liberty. Bless the church, we pray that they may be in peace and love and unity and harmony, striving together for the furtherance of the gospel here. Remember each one in the congregation, from the youngest to the eldest. And Lord, if it would please thee to add unto them such as shall be saved. O Lord, bring back prodigals. Howsoever far they may have gone, thou art able to bring them back. Bless the officers of the church and grant all needed wisdom and grace. And do help thy servants who minister here from time to time. Oh, that they come with the word of the Lord and be found the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And Lord, if it be right in thy sight, would it please thee to grant a settled ministry here? And Lord, what we pray for here, we pray for each cause of truth. Remember all the gatherings of thy people. O Lord, do remember all those places where the truth is preached, the gospel is preached. All who love and fear thy name. Lord, we live in sad days, distressing days, so much to cast down, so much to dishearten. Lord, return with mercies unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Could it please thee yet to raise up and equip and thrust forth more ministers of the gospel. What a great need there is. Lord, do remember thy people throughout the whole earth, all who love and fear thy name, those who are not as favoured as we are, those who suffer many deprivations, hardships and oppression and opposition. And O Lord, do remember our land and nation. O Lord, we tremble. A nation ripe for judgment. A nation that has turned from God. A nation embracing all manner of false religions and wickedness and corruptions and evils and idols and graven images. And, oh, a nation that would tread underfoot thy word, a nation that must have provoked thee to anger. But Lord, spare us yet. We marvel at thy forbearance, thy long suffering. O, do spare us yet and turn us again unto thee. O Lord, we would be thankful for all thy many benefits towards us, thy goodness, thy kindness, thy compassion. We do have so much to be thankful for. Oh, grant us each truly thankful hearts. And now, Lord, what wait we for? Our hope is in thee. So do help us, Lord, as we turn to thy word. Be pleased to open it up to our understanding and cause thy glorious voice to be heard. Compassion on us have, we pray. And empty, send us not away. We ask all in that worthy, precious, and all-prevailing name of Jesus. For Jesus' sake alone we ask. Amen.
Hymn 727. Oh, that I knew the secret place where I might find my God. I'd spread my wants before his face and pour my woes abroad. 727.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I will direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 107 and the last verse, verse 43. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Psalm 107 and verse 43. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Understanding the loving kindness of the Lord. It poses a question. Do we understand anything of the loving kindness of the Lord? Really, we have two words here beautifully joined together. We have the word love and we have the word kind. To see the love of God, indeed to know the love of God, to see the kindness of God, and to know the kindness of God. In this last verse, really, it reflects back upon the whole psalm, often been termed the pilgrim psalm. The way the Lord leads his people, and also God's dealings with his people. And if your and my religion is real, then we will be no strangers to God's dealings with us, because the Lord does have dealings with his people, because they belong unto him. And the Lord, he will call them by his grace. He will make them willing in the day of his power. He will draw them unto himself. Oh, the Lord will give them that new heart and a right spirit. The Lord will cause them to follow him. The Lord will yet have dealings with them in showing them themselves as lost, ruined, guilty, vile, hell-deserving sinners. And yet also in leading them unto the Lord Jesus Christ, for sinners' only hope, for sinners' only plea. You see, the Lord will teach his people. He will teach them the truth. He will teach them that one thing is needful. Oh, there are many, many lessons that a child of God must yet learn in the school of Christ. Oh, that the Lord must humble them. He must prove them. Yes, he must strip them, he must empty them. Oh, the Lord, he's no hard taskmaster. But I would say this, if we know anything of the Lord's dealings in our souls, if we have that hope in the mercy of God, if we may look back to such a time when perhaps the Lord began his dealings with us in calling us by his grace, or when the Lord began that work of grace, or when the Lord took us in hand, look back to that time, and at the time, oh, it may have seemed very harsh, very severe, or we may have had to go through some very, very difficult things, but we shall be thankful, truly thankful For whatever the Lord did unto us, as it were to bring us unto ourselves. Oh, in showing us and teaching us what we are by nature. And perhaps with some of us, the Lord must press a very heavy hand upon us. The Lord must send a great affliction, a great trouble. Or the Lord may, it may have seemed at the time so severe, and yet it brought us to ourselves. And in bringing us unto ourselves, it brings us to where you had just been singing, to the throne of grace. Can I ask you, are you a stranger to the throne of grace tonight? Do you understand what the throne of grace is? You've heard the term many, many times. But are you a stranger to it? The throne of grace is a place where the Lord will bring his people, where they may come and pray unto him and to call upon him, indeed to cry unto him. It is that place of communion. Remember when the Lord instructed Moses to make that Ark of the Covenant. There he speaks of the mercy seat. And here the Lord promises, and there will I meet with thee, and there will I commune with thee from above the mercy seat. From between the two cherubims of glory. Now the Lord Jesus, he fills the mercy seat, the throne of grace, they're two of the same. Indeed, his precious blood is shed upon and about the mercy seat, that sinners who would draw nigh unto God, sinners who would commune with God, sinners who would cry unto God, may plead that blood that does for sin atone. The vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Or are we strangers to the throne of grace? Or do we know something of the Lord's dealings with us in drawing us to the throne of grace? Oh, perhaps drawing is not too powerful a word. Or was it that you were constrained to the throne of grace? Was it that you were compelled to the throne of grace? Or did you feel to be, as it were, driven to the throne of grace? You see, throughout this psalm, we have this people, time and again, they cry unto the Lord. When do they cry unto the Lord? When they're in trouble. When they're in trouble. The Lord will teach them to cry unto him in the day of trouble. And you notice how time and again in their trouble they cry unto him, and without fail the Lord hears them. The Lord answers them. In his time and in his way, he brings them out of trouble. Indeed, I believe the Lord's dealings with his people and their souls and in their lives, that they will come into such troubles that they cannot get themselves out of. You take by way of example the children of Israel. Now, they were in trouble under the Egyptians, under the taskmasters. Oh, what great afflictions they suffered. How the Egyptians so dealt with them, treated them as slaves, captives. Ah, the children of Israel could not escape. They could not deliver themselves. There was no way out. There they were, in great affliction. But they cry unto the Lord. And they cry, and they cry, and they cry, and still the Lord doesn't appear. Or is that your experience tonight? The Lord who you trust, you hope, has taught you to pray, to cry unto him, but the Lord doesn't seem to answer, the Lord doesn't seem to come. And the days and the nights pass, the weeks and the months, even the years in certain matters, and all it seems the Lord is silent. You fear the Lord will never answer your prayer. But we remember when the Lord met with Moses at the burning bush. And the Lord speaks unto Moses, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows and I am come down to deliver them. And again, now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And that day would come when the Lord would deliver them out of their troubles. And really we have it here in verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Until a soul has been born again, quickened by the Spirit, until the Lord, in his great mercy, has brought that soul unto himself, that soul is under the hand of the enemy, serving Satan. It's a very solemn but very true saying that we are either found serving God or serving Satan. Very heart-searching. Are we found serving God? Do we seek to be found serving God? Is it our desire to serve him? The prayer of the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, as he then was, comes to mind. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What is thy will concerning me? Now, if we're not seeking God's will, I'm sure we're seeking our own will. And as such, we're pleasing ourselves. Servants of Satan, who is in control, as it were, of the heart. That heart of man, that heart we read is deceitful above all things and so desperately wicked. What a great mercy if we know something, or if we desire something, of being redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Or is it your cry with a psalmist in another psalm? Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. Are we found perhaps in verse 4 wandering? Wandering in the wilderness in a solitary way, finding no city to dwell in. Oh, do we fear that we have wandered from the Lord? Are we proving this world to be such a wilderness that there is nothing here to give us rest? Oh, nothing here to satisfy our souls. Nothing here to do us good. And then again, hungry and thirsty. Oh, not a natural hunger and thirst, but a spiritual hunger and thirst. Blessed are they that thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hungry and thirsty. Let me put it this way. If we come into the house of God tonight, spiritually, hungry and thirsty, that is, we have souls that need to be fed. And if our souls are not fed, then we shall faint by the way. Or we may feel to famish. Or we may feel that great need. Or we long for that spiritual food, that spiritual drink. We know something of a hunger and a thirst. And yet, remaining hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Or they cried unto the Lord for mercy. They cried unto the Lord for pardon. They cried unto the Lord for forgiveness. Or they felt the guilt of their sins. They felt the plague of their own hearts. They felt to be lost. They felt to be ruined. But they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, their soul trouble. They cry for that revelation of a precious Jesus. Or they cry that they might know him and find him and be found in him. Or they cry that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Or they cry unto the Lord that he would remember them with the favour that he beareth unto his people. O visit me with thy salvation. O Lord, do come and save me. Save me for thy mercy's sake. They prove that they cannot save themselves. They prove that they cannot redeem themselves. They dare not justify themselves. But at the mercy seat, they would cry unto the Lord. See, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord, or beginning to understand the benefits of the mercy seat, or beginning to understand the wonderful provision of the throne of grace, or understanding the loving kindness of the Lord, that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Or understanding the loving kindness of the Lord, to know that God is merciful. Or to believe that God is merciful, and to hope in God's mercy, and to cry for God's mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That soul hoping in God's mercy will be led to the Lord Jesus. Again, understanding the loving kindness of the Lord, being taught by the Spirit. And he led them forth by the right way, even unto Christ. The way the Lord will lead all his people. He who says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he led them forth by the right way. This is a way, walk ye in it. Or Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He led them forth by the right way, to the throne of grace, to the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. He led them forth by the right way, to the cross of Christ. Oh, he led them forth by the right way to that place where grace much more abounds. Oh, we feel our sins to abound. Every child of God feels our sins to abound. But where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. There is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And while my glory passeth by, I will put thee in a clift, in the clift of the rock. He led them forth by the right way. And again, as the Lord leads his people, so the Lord draws his people. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Or do we know something of being drawn out and away from this world which lieth in wickedness, but drawn to a precious Jesus in our need of him to save us from all of our sins? Oh, then they cried unto the Lord. You think of those blind men who cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon us. All those who went before told them to keep their peace, but no, they would not keep their peace. The matter was urgent, the matter was pressing. Oh, it was life or death, heaven or hell. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. All that prayer of importunity. All that the Lord must hear us. All the Lord who is merciful, the Lord is gracious. But we long to know it personally, savingly. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Understanding the loving kindness of the Lord in not leaving us to ourselves. Oh, in not leaving us to a mere form of godliness. Oh, in not leaving us to merely trust in a lamp of profession, a name to live. But you see, the Lord, he will strip his people of all their own self-righteousnesses. The Lord will make them feel much of the plague of their own heart. Oh, what great sinners we are. And yet the Lord, oh, he will ever draw them unto himself. Oh, the abundance of his grace, grace to cover all thy sins. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. To every needy soul, Jesus is precious. To every praying soul, Jesus is precious. Oh, to every seeking soul, Jesus is precious. And the more that we are drawn to him, the more that we understand both the doctrine of Christ and the person of Christ, he will become more and more precious as an almighty Saviour, a wonderful Saviour, one who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, oh, to understand this. In the Gospels, those poor and needy souls who came to Christ, there was not one case who was too hard, not one case he couldn't deal with, not one case he rejected, not one case he turned away, not one case he said, I cannot help you, not one case he said, I will not help you. Now, oh, may we understand this. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today and forever, all still able to heal, still able to deliver, all still able to redeem, still able to forgive, still able to pardon. And the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. The one who then receiveth sinners and eateth with them is even today the one who receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Understanding the loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, what a great mercy if we know something of a felt need of the Lord Jesus to save us. Oh, what a great mercy if we are indeed and in truth seeking him, if haply we might find him and find in him all our desire and all our salvation. Whoso is wise, made wise unto salvation. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. All the wonderful loving kindness of the Lord in all his dealings with his people, as they are led forth by the right way through this waste howling wilderness of strangers and pilgrimage. Pilgrims, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now, the Lord's people, they're led forth by the right way. It doesn't say the easy way. It doesn't say the straightforward way. Most certainly not the wide way, but the narrow way, the way of tribulation. Oh, the way that at times is so narrow, there seems no way at all. But still the Lord leads them safely on. Now, if the Lord leads his people, then surely they must be found following him. Which brings another question. Are we found of those who follow him? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that following of the Lord Jesus is following him whithersoever he goeth. And what grace we need at times to truly follow him. Now we read of characters here who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. And also we're told why. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contend the counsel of the Most High. Or do we look down upon these people? Or do we think that we're holier than they, better than they? Or do we think in our hearts, well, I would never rebel against the words of God. I would never contemn the counsel of the Most High. Dear friend, you're on dangerous ground. You're on that same place where Peter was standing when he said, though all men deny thee, so will not I. The child of God, oh, he knows, and perhaps he has proven very painfully that there has been times when he has rebelled against the words of God. Perhaps not in a malicious way, not in such an adamant way. We can think of Jonah and his disobedience. But you know, when we murmur, when we fret, when we complain of the Lord's dealings, Or we may even at times be angry with God. We're rebelling against the words of God and contemning the counsel of the Most High. Let me put it this way. If we go to an arm of flesh for counsel, for advice, what to do, are we not contemning the counsel of the Most High? The Lord, He is the counselor. He has counsel to give unto all His people in every situation. Or see it in this way. Do we go to man or do we go to the Word of God? If we go to man, are we not guilty of rebelling against the words of God because we don't want the words of God? These things come very, very close. And the child of God, he is no stranger at times to be found sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, and bound in affliction and iron, of course, not literally, but in his experience, in his pathway, the Lord's dealings with him. He brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Ah, the Lord's dealings with his people, that mighty hand of God, bringing down their heart with labour, causing them to fall down, teaching them that there was none to help. And at such times they shall be awakened, they shall be taught to see how foolish they have been, how rebellious, how hard-hearted. And now they fear. And now they're in great concern and great alarm, but there is none to help. But understanding the loving kindness of the Lord, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. I don't know, is there one here tonight tempted that you dare not cry unto the Lord in your trouble because it's all self-inflicted? You brought it upon yourself. Perhaps you can see how in some way or other you have rebelled against the words of God and contend the counsel of the Most High. Now you understand why you're in this darkness, why you're in this shadow of death, why you're being bound in affliction and iron. Oh, you see how foolish you have been. You dare not pray. You fear the Lord will reject you. Oh, you fear the Lord will not come now to help you. Oh, why should the Lord do this unto you? But dear soul, to whom shall you go? To whom shall you go if there is none to help? Then, yes, even then, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. You see, the Lord hasn't taken away from you the throne of grace. He hasn't removed the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. It is still there. You're still free to go there. Two characters just come to mind who found the throne of grace, who were both in extremities. Just very briefly, I think of Jonah in the belly of that great fish. And it's understood that it was 3 days and three nights before he would cry unto his God, all feeling to be so disobedient and had brought it all upon himself. Now the other one was King Manasseh. Oh, how he made the streets of Jerusalem to run with blood. Such was his wickedness and evils. And oh, how he had so provoked the Lord to anger. The enemies came and they took him away in fetters of thorns. Oh, that he was greatly afflicted. But in his affliction, he turned to the Lord. Oh, you might think on the face of it, just looking at it, well, surely the Lord wouldn't be favourable unto him. Oh, surely the Lord wouldn't have compassion upon him. Oh, surely the Lord had cast him out of his sight. No. Understanding the loving kindness of the Lord that this man receiveth sinners, great sinners, those who cry unto him, those who repent of their sins, those who plead for mercy, pardon, forgiveness. All these souls will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Or they will cry unto the Lord in their trouble, their soul trouble. And he saved them out of their distresses. Jonah, Manasseh, and every child of God, every praying soul, everyone who cries unto the Lord, he saved them because he is able to save. Or not just that he is able to save. We think of the Good Samaritan. Well, he was able, if you will, to save. But he did save. He went to that one in need. And he did save him. And why, my soul, not for thee? And he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness. Or do you feel to be in spiritual darkness? And he brought them out of darkness. Like Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. He came out of darkness, the darkness of that tomb. But he still had on the grave clothes. He wouldn't have been able to see clearly. But then again, loose him and let him go. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. Or do you feel in your soul to be under that shadow of death? You long for life, life, eternal life. Or to be brought out of the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Those bands which held them so fast, that held them so tight, that held them so secure. And yet he brought and break their bands in sunder. Now these souls, they understand the loving kindness of the Lord. I do also just want to briefly notice again, this is the Lord's dealings with his people. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. He commandeth and raiseth a stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. We can picture in our minds a stormy sea and a little vessel being tossed to and fro in that stormy sea. In the pathway of the Lord's dear people, at times there are these storms of trouble. All these storms that have such an effect upon us. These storms where we feel to be completely and utterly out of control. These storms where we feel we shall make shipwreck of faith. These storms where we feel that all hope that we should be saved seem to be taken away. And what a description we have here. Perhaps it describes you tonight. They reel to and fro. They find no stability, if you will, nothing to hold on to. They stagger like a drunken man. It's always a very, very pitiful sight. One who cannot stand upright and are at their wit's end corner. Oh, a very distressing place to be. Oh, a very grievous place to be. Now you notice in the margin, and are at their wit's end. All their wisdom is swallowed up. All the time they have an inkling that they know what to do, or that they have the answer, they have the solution, they are not at their wit's end. To be at one's wit's end is when we're at the absolute end of everything, all our wisdom, all our thoughts, all our understanding, all our discernment or counsel, all our ability, everything is gone. Everything. And are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. You know, coming to wit's end corner, that soul is so oppressed, that soul is so distressed, these things which have come upon it, this storm, this great trouble, this great matter, this great thing, which has been, if you will, instrumental in bringing souls to their wit's end, they are tempted even not to pray. And it is a temptation. And it can be a very powerful and real temptation. Dear friend, if anything is tempting you not to pray, it is of the devil, it is not of God. God says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And yet so often we feel to faint and not pray. Now the thought comes to the mind, what's the point? Or I have prayed and there is nothing. The storm, the tempest just gets worse and worse. The trouble is so entangled, I cannot see any way that this can be resolved, any way that this can be put right, any way through this. Again, let us be careful. I think in the previous psalm, or the one before, we read there the children of Israel, they limited the Holy One of Israel. I wonder how many times we limit the Holy One of Israel. We limit his wisdom. We limit his ability. We limit his power. We may limit his mercy. We may limit his love. We may limit his kindness. We may limit his compassions. We may limit his goodness. In so many ways, we can be guilty of limiting the Holy One of Israel. Now, God is never at his wit's end. The Lord always knows what to do. What an example the children of Israel had by the Red Sea. There they felt to be at their wit's end. But the word of the Lord will stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And he bringeth them out of their distresses, even for his great name's sake. All the Lord makes bare his mighty arm, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. When the children of Israel, who only a few hours before were so full of murmuring, were so full of fear, were so overwhelmed with trouble at the sight of Pharaoh and the chariots and the horsemen and the army, now standing on the other side of the shore, the Red Sea, and seeing the waters return and seeing that Egyptian army now as dead bodies upon the shoreline. Now it can be said, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Did they deserve it? No, they didn't deserve it. Do you and I deserve it? No, you and I do not deserve it. We shall never get to heaven by our deserts. Our deserts will sink us into hell. But all to understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Every prayer that is heard, every prayer that is answered, we shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, his loving kindness in all his ways, his loving kindness in all his dealings, his loving kindness even when the Lord must chasten, even when the Lord must correct, even when the Lord must humble and strip and prove and try. You see, as Hezekiah proved himself, by these things men live. Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Three words just comes to mind. If need be. If the Lord sees that need for us to pass through these things, come into these things, there must be a wise purpose. God never makes a mistake. He's too wise to err, too good to be unkind. Or there must be teaching. There must be profit to our soul. Why through darksome paths we go and can see no reason, yet we shall hereafter know each in his due season. And it's often looking back to see all the way the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness that we understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, may the Lord grant us such wisdom, the wisdom the world knows nothing of, wisdom the mere professor of religion knows nothing of, but this wisdom that is given to every child of God who knows something of the Lord's dealings with them. Whoso is wise. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith. Whoso is wise and will observe these things. Oh, may the Lord help us to observe this thing. There is a God in heaven. He is the one true living God. He is faithful. He is merciful. He is gracious. God is love. We love him because he first loved us. He, as the living God, the faithful God, the gracious God, he hears the cries of his people. He hears their prayers. And in hearing their prayers, in his time and way, and to his honour and glory, he will answer. I said not unto the seed of Israel, seek ye me in vain. Or if we are found truly seeking the Lord, we shall not seek in vain, but we shall find him. The Lord has promised. Understanding the loving kindness of the Lord. So whether it's spiritual or providential, the Lord answers the prayers of his people. He hears their cry. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Whatever trouble you may be in tonight, the Lord help you, enable you to cry unto him. There is again that promise in Psalm 50. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And I must just quote, my eyes keep falling on the previous psalm, these words. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Fred Ince expects you to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pocock next Tuesday evening. Let's close with hymn 1072. Jesus, Redeemer, Saviour, Lord, the weary sinner's friend, come to my help, pronounce the word, bid my corruptions end. 1072.
The grace of the Saviour
and the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.